trusting Jesus with our deepest desire for love. And as we've talked about each of the last several weeks, we are made to love. We are made with this deep desire. We are made with this core longing within us to both love and to be loved. We're wired for it. We're wired for this love. And that love is meant to be first met in our relationship with God and then lived out in our relationships with all people. But as we've talked about each of the last several weeks, there's a problem. And that problem is that there's a brokenness in the world. There's a brokenness that's affected us. There's a brokenness that's affected the world. There's a brokenness that causes us not to receive the love in ways that we're wired to receive it. And this statement, "you are loved," we may know this statement as truth. We may believe this statement. We may read every scripture in the Bible that tells us that God is love and that God loves us. Yet even though we know this to be true, sometimes we don't feel it, and sometimes we don't experience it. Our feelings and our experiences may be different than what we know to be true. Or some of us don't even know this. Some of us don't even realize that we are loved. Some of us, because of the brokenness in the world, have never had someone step into our lives and tell us that we are loved and that we are loved deeply. And so this idea of love remains foreign to us. And this can leave us empty. This can affect our self-worth. It can cause us to become desperate. It can send us off seeking and searching for that which we don't feel in our heart. And as we've talked about, the world provides us lots of solutions for finding this love. And what I want to say about this morning is that we often, with the world's solutions, equate the outcome with the actual core longing. In other words, the things that we're supposed to receive and experience because of love, we often equate those things as love itself. And it confuses us as much as I probably just confused you, and it leaves us searching. I want to try to tease this out a little bit and help. You know, there's several words in the Greek language that refer to the word love. And that's part of the problem. When we look at scriptures, we see the word love. We have one English word for it. There's multiple Greek words for the word love. And we're going to look at four of those this morning to kind of help us understand and get at this longing that we have within us. And the first of those is a word that speaks to the love we receive in our family. And this, no doubt, can be a beautiful thing, should be a beautiful thing, is meant to be a beautiful thing, is meant to point us to the love that God has for us. Out of the love that we both receive and give in our relationship with God, out of that love, family is birthed. But what we often do is that we wrongly say and we wrongly believe that love equals family. That love equals family. And so, if we begin to believe this, then when we aren't experiencing love, when we have this deep desire for love within us that we're not experiencing in our lives, in our hearts, then what we can do is we can try to go out and find that love and create that love by creating family. We try to meet that need by finding, by creating, by producing family. Now, this might be how this would play out in our minds. You know, I have this longing, this void in my life. If I could just find that perfect husband. If I could just find that perfect wife. If I could just find that spouse and begin that family, then that need will be met. That need for love will be met within me. Or if we would just have a child, then the love that maybe we're not experiencing with one another right now will be made complete. It'll draw us together because we'll have that family to hold us together. And so we equate this love that we experience in family, which is meant to be an outcome of the love we have with God, we equate it with the love itself deep within us. Now let's think about that in another way. With our friendships. There is a word, philia, a Greek word, that means the type of brotherly love. That's the word Philadelphia comes from, the city of brotherly love. This type of love that we find in our friendships. And again, this can be a beautiful thing. It's meant to be a beautiful thing. It's meant to be something that points people to the love of God, the love God has for us. Out of my love for others and their love for me, our friendships are formed. But we can wrongly say and wrongly believe that love equals friendships. That the deep desire that's within us for love can be met by those friendships. And so, if we aren't having this deep desire, this core longing of love met within us, then we can go looking for that love in our friendships with one another. It might be played out like this. If only I become friends with them. If only I could fit in to that group. If only I find the right people to do life with, then I'll feel loved. Then this void will be met. Or how about this third word for love, eros, which speaks to the erotic romantic love. And again, this can be a great thing. It's meant to be a great thing. It's meant to point us to the love of God for us. Yet it's out of our love for God and a person that this desire for intimacy should grow. But we could wrongly say, and we often wrongly believe, that love equals romance. And this might be the easiest one example for us to recognize in our culture today. And so if I'm not having my desire for love met, if I have this longing, this void within me, then I could begin to believe and to go searching for it through romantic relationships. What we often do is we go and we pursue these things without the other levels of intimacy being in the same place, at the same level. Our emotional intimacy, our spiritual intimacy. Out of our desire to find this love that's voided in our lives, we jump forward in our physical intimacy, in our romance, in these relationships. Because if only I could find this, if only I could experience this, if only I could be one with this person, then maybe that void will be filled. Maybe that place within me that's meant to be for Jesus can be met. Now, part of the issue with each of these, that if you look at each of these examples of love in Scripture, is that to one degree or another, we are all broken people who are trying to find love from other broken people. This is true of our families. This is true of our friendships. This is true of all of our relationships and all of our romantic involvements. We are all, to some degree or another, broken people trying to have our needs met by other broken people. And so even when we do our best to establish these relationships in healthy ways, there will be times within us that remain various degrees of emptiness. The best that we do to try to live in and out of all of these relationships will still fall short in terms of meeting our needs. I learned this in a significant way kind of the transitions of my life, God has always worked in. But when I was graduating from college, I'd been in a relationship for several years. My parents separated right when I went to college, like 3 days before I went to college. And then they ended up getting a divorce while I was in college. And so all of these things started to change in my life. That relationship changed. What I knew as family changed. Friendships change and transition out of high school, out of college, into life. And I happened to be involved with a girl that at one point in time I thought maybe I would marry for a couple years in college. And that relationship ended. And I began to learn in the midst of this that there's one person that can fulfill that need in me every time and all the time. Only one person. We need as our foundation, at the core of who we are, at our deepest desires, we need that desire for love to be met by Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can step into that place with this godly love and meet that need. The Greek word there is agape. You've probably heard that one before. That sacrificial, unconditional love that God has for you and for me. It's out of this love, out of this source, that all other forms of love are meant to take their shape and flow out of us into others. Another way of looking at this is, how might we be able to give the deepest form of love to someone else if we've not yet received and experienced that love within us in a personal way? Think about, you know, the commandment to love one another. It's the second greatest one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another, as we heard many times in 1 John 4. And we have this desire to love other people. We want to be loving. We want to be loving spouses. We want to be loving parents. We want to be loving friends. We want to be loving towards the Lord, towards the strangers. Deep down within us, I believe that we want to do this. And yet we oftentimes remain in conflict because living this out is difficult. Why? Because we can only love others when that desire for love is being met in our hearts by Jesus Christ. And so it puts this conflict within us, both on the receiving end, receiving God's love and receiving love from another's, as well as on the giving end, giving our love to the Lord and to one another. Let's just summarize some of what we heard in 1 John chapter 4. Let us love one another is kind of the idea behind this. But listen to everything that needs to happen to enable us to love one another. Love is from God. And this love in us is also from God. God is love. And that's revealed to us through Jesus Christ, who was sent so that we might live, that we might find life through Christ. In this, in living through Jesus, is love. That's where love is formed. When we can live through Jesus, this is love. God loved us and sent Jesus as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Because of God's love for us, we should love one another. So out of this relationship with the Lord and the love we experience within us, this desire and this longing being met within our hearts, it's then that we are able to love one another. When we love one another, people see God's love in us. And God's love is made perfect in us. This is plural. Within community, as we learn to love God and one another, God's love is perfected within us. And it gives testimony to the world that God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. We love because God first loved us. And those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. But at the heart of this passage is this idea of first things first. First is experiencing this agape love from God. And then we can move into these other relationships and find and experience a love that's rooted in Christ's love for us. And what kind of love is this? It's this agape sacrificial love. It's the love that we celebrate today. It's the love that caused Jesus to enter into Jerusalem, knowing what was at store. Here are the verses from John 12, verse 12. The next day, the great crowd had come to the festival, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." The world is following him. The world is going out to greet him as they would a king, to celebrate and honor and praise him as he proceeds into the city. Jesus knew what was in store. We know on this end what was in store. But we need to put this context in the context of Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. On this day, we celebrate Christ's entrance in Jerusalem. We celebrate the palms that were laid on the ground as he came in on a donkey. We celebrate, "Hosanna, save us, Jesus." We celebrate the path the Messiah is taken into the city. And Christ knew as he went into the city that what he was a sheep being led to the slaughter. He knew the outcome. He knew the end. He knew what was going to happen after he entered that city. And yet he chose that path. Why did he choose that path? Agape love. Sacrificial love. A love so deep for you. A love so deep for the world. A love so deep that he sat upon the colt and entered the city like a sheep being led to the slaughter. This unconditional love that's so hard for us to understand. Richard Rohr says this, "For Paul, agape love, the sacrificial love, is the great love that is larger than you. It is the great self, the God self. It's not something you do." Do you hear that? This isn't something we do. This isn't an action. This isn't something we earn. It's something that you learn to live inside. To live inside of, even while you already participate in it. Paul's often used expression for living in love is to be in Christ. This way of being is something you fall into more than you manufacture. Just as our wonderful English phrase puts it, falling in love. This love is unconditional, always present, comes without any stipulations except the falling itself. We will only allow ourselves to fall into love when we give up control, consciously or unconsciously. It will often feel like a falling and a faltering, an ecstatic humiliation. God's invitation to us, Jesus' invitation to us, is to fall into God's love. To fall into God's love in Jesus Christ that's manifested to us even today through the power of the Holy Spirit. To fall into God's love that is all around us. To fall into a love that's so incredible, so unconditional, that there's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing that we can do or not do that will cause God to love us any less than God already loves us as His children created in His image. I don't know if you know or remember those commercials of them, like the Nestea plunge, where the person's by the pool and like it's like drinking a glass of iced tea, like just falling into this pool and being refreshed. That image came to my mind this morning. Like, God is inviting us to just fall into God's love, to be refreshed, to be renewed, to be restored. And here's the message of God's unconditional love, that I am enough as I am, that you are enough as you are. Just like we talked about with significance last week, there's nothing you can do to become more significant in God's eyes. Your significance rests in the reality and truth that you are a created child of God, created in God's image. And this is true of love as well. There's nothing we can do. God doesn't love us more when we show up for church on Sunday morning. God doesn't love us less when we fall into sin on Saturday night. God's love is unconditional, remains. This is grace. This is the standard of the gospel. That no matter what you do, or I do, or what we fail to do, God's love remains. And God welcomes us into this love. It's the scandal of the gospel. It really is that good. And so our response really just becomes to fall, to receive, to say, yes, Jesus, I want to fall into your love. To say, come, Jesus, meet these deepest desires of our heart. This desire within me for love, to be loved, to give love, come meet it. You, Jesus, meet this need. Fill any void that remains in me. Any void that you have allowed to be here so that I realize the need for you, come and fill it. Jesus, receive me as I receive you. And as I fall into your love, Jesus, may you fill me in such a way that your love spills over. Spills over to all of those who come in contact with me. So that as they are in relationship with me, the love they receive from me is a love that comes from you. Beloved, if God so loved us, we should love one another. And the only shot we have at living into that in the fullest way is to first allow God's love to pour over us. As we enter into a time of reflection, I'm going to guide this a little bit more than I typically do. And what I would like for you to do is as you close your eyes, And we pray, Spirit, that you sanctify this time. As you close your eyes and begin to reflect on what the Spirit's laying on your heart through these words, I just invite you to ask God to give you an image of Christ on the cross, arms spread, gazing at you. And if it helps you, hold on to this palm cross. Sometimes if we hold on to an object like a cross, that kind of helps us get an image of that. And as you reflect and as you meditate, just begin to pour out, just to give Jesus anything in our lives that we've tried to find love in instead of Jesus Christ. Just let go of it. Let go and begin to trust Jesus and Jesus alone for that deepest desire for love in our hearts. Let's take a few moments for reflection.